It was around year 30. In the beginning of fall, that the people of Israel were anticipating another festival. This wasn't an ordinary festival. It was a Jewish festival called the Sukkot, the festival of the booths, or festival of a tabernacle. This is a happy occasion with a lot of food and offerings and dancing and singing, and people from all over Jerusalem gathered together to celebrate. Inside the walls, people made a Sukkot, a dwelling place or a tent where they were to stay and eat and look up at the stars and kind of be with one another. And this festival was to remind the Jewish people of all the years in which their ancestors dwelt in tents while they roamed the desert after leaving Egypt. And they made these three-wall structures, and they placed palm branches on top so not to totally shield out the sun or the rain or the stars, so that they could see or that they could feel God's glory. The people lived in these dwellings during the eight-day festival. They decorated their dwelling places and with handmade pictures and pottery or special ornaments for the occasion. And I mean, they ate from the bountiful harvest they had that year, the bread and drink and meat and fruits. And the temple was open as well. Priests gave burnt offerings each night to God and to Yahweh. And bulls and lambs and rams and grains and drink offerings were made. And the aroma, as written in the Holy Scriptures, in the book of Numbers, actually, would bring a pleasing aroma to God. Dancing would occur. Sacred dancing, yes, dancing. In the temple, by priests, and by many others as children looked on with anticipation. And five lights were lit earlier that day, just before dawn, one on each corner of the temple, and then one in the middle of the temple area, illuminating all of Jerusalem so that people could see as the festival went through the night. Light is a rich Old Testament symbol. In the Exodus story, God lit the way out of Egypt with a pillar of fire for the Jewish people to follow through the night. The psalmist in Psalm 27 shares that the Lord is my light. And in Isaiah, it shares that the coming of God's kingdom would be when the servant of the Lord would be a light so that he may bring salvation to the very ends of the earth. Light imagery is important to the Jewish faith. Four lights on the corners. And a light in the middle had significance to the festival. And at the end of the seventh, in the beginning of the day eight, the four outside lights were extinguished. And all you saw was the center light. A light to signify the coming Messiah. One that the Jewish people had not thought arrived. In the book of John, chapter 8, it is where we pick up our story this morning. It was year 30 when this festival was vital to our message today, because it would be the last festival of the tabernacle that Jesus would see. He would set up his Sukkot, his tent, along with his disciples, just like everyone else did. He ate with everyone, he went to the temple, and he danced with all the others, celebrating the Jewish heritage, recognizing and remembering the turmoil that those who wandered in the desert went through. He danced, and he prayed, and he ate, and he slept under the covering of his dwelling place, all the while being illuminated by the four corner lights and the center light, signifying the hope of the Messiah to come. In the temple, Jesus and his disciples sat beneath their tent on the seventh day of the Feast of Tabernacles and watched as the four lights on the periphery of the town were extinguished. And the last remaining was the light that proclaimed the coming of the Messiah. And having the last light shine, the Jewish people believed that the Messiah would soon come to save them. And on the eighth day, Jesus danced and he ate and he gave an offering like all of the other faithful Jewish people. And as they put out and extinguished the last light on the final day of the festival, it became dark. And at the end of the day, as John would come to say, it was extinguished. And Jesus, in the darkness, with all of the lights extinguished, rose in the middle of the temple as people were struggling to find their way home because there was no light for them to see. Jesus says these words, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." To the Jewish people of that day, it was not Jesus who was the light of the world. I mean, it couldn't be, right? They were waiting for him. However, because we believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the good news of our faith is that the light has come in the darkness. Jesus proclaimed that he is the light of the world, that no darkness can overcome him and no light can outshine him. We need to realize that there is only one light that will shine bright enough for us to see everything in a new way. It is the light, and his light is the only light that can shine so bright that the dark places of this world cannot be hidden. They cannot escape the shadows of their existence, nor can we escape the light of Christ that shines from heaven to guide us and to direct us, to show us the way home. So in that one little moment in John, where Jesus proclaims himself as the Messiah, as the light in the middle of this festival, it is by that light that others see the glory of God, and brings us to our scripture this morning. I want us to look at the book of Matthew, please. I like to read from Eugene Peterson's The Message every once in a while. Typically, when I do my study, I use ESV or NIV or NRSV. All those alphabet soups. But every once in a while, I like to pull out the Message because it gives a really interesting take on what the scripture says. And listen to this. He translates it a new way. He says, "Here's another way to put it. You are here to be light, to bring out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. And if I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm going to put you on a light stand. And now that I've put you on a hilltop and on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven." Let's pray. Holy and wonderful God, we thank you for the opportunity to grow, to listen and be attentive to your will. Your Son, Jesus, was the light that lights a dark world. He proclaimed it on that day so far long ago that he was the light. And he places that light within us so that we might shine on a hill, so that we might draw people to him. God, walk with us now as we understand what our role is and what our opportunities are to be light bringers in this world that just knows a little bit too much darkness. For we pray this in his name. Amen. You know, it's very easy to live in such a dark world that we can forget that we are the light. We forget that as God's people, we have been set aside, that we have a great gift, and that by accepting Jesus as the living Christ in our lives, as our Savior, we no longer walk in the darkness. Because it's by the light that Christ puts inside of us that others will see the glory of God. You see, Jesus calls us in the scripture for us to be lights of the world. He tells us that we need to shine. I mean, how else would the world realize the love that God has for him if it is not through us demonstrating that love in real and practical ways in this world? We are the fruits, friends, of Jesus' sacrifice. How are those in darkness going to discover joy and happiness and peace that can be found in Jesus if they can't see that in those who proclaim to be Christ followers? By becoming lights in a dark world, we become more noticeable. Our love for others in a world full of hate, our peace in hectic and confused world, our selflessness in a world that is stricken with selfish ambition, our joy and happiness in a world that is full of hurt and aggression, these things shine out as light. And like a city on a hill, it cannot be hidden, because light shines out in the darkness. Others look to us, some with admiration and joy. They start to see what we have, and they crave this light that has been given to us. They want to imitate what we have in our lives, and they too come to the joy of salvation. Others will look on us, though, with a feeling of hate or loathing. Some will envy us. Some will watch us, waiting for us to fail so that they can bring us down. It's our light that ensures that Jesus remains visible in the world today. We are his body, his love, his people. If we do not shine, if people see in us the same darkness that they see in others, then we are failing in our responsibilities as Christians. We are also failing to grow, to becoming more and more like the light of God. We as Christians need to strive to change, to always have our eye on how Jesus would want us to live. In occasions, we will fail, but Jesus will always be there to pick us up and make sure the light is shining bright again. We must always be willing to strive, willing to change, and be more like the people that Jesus is calling us to be. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 through 7 says this, "And it's the message that we have heard from him and declared to you, that God is light. And in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with God and we walk in the darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth." That's pretty cut and dry, isn't it? "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin." You see, it's easy to be a light on church on the Sunday morning, isn't it? There's not a whole bunch of darkness in here that's going to quench our light. We're all kind of looking the same direction. But God does not look to those who can be a light among lights. God doesn't look to those who want to be a light among lights. You see, God looks to those who want to be a light among darkness. He looks for those who can take a light into a world that has lost its way. He looks for those who become beacons of light to his lost sheep. God is looking for those who will step out and make a difference for those without hope, without revelation. He's looking for those who can radiate the grace and the joy and the love of their own lives and what Christ has done into this world. A lot of times Christians bring darkness into the light, don't we? We bring the world into the church, don't we? We bring into the church pride and selfishness and control and jealousy when we should be bringing joy and grace, and hope, and love, and peace. We should be taking our light that Christ has put in us out into the darkness. We need to be taking the church out into the world. You see, when we come to people with troubles, when we come to people with needs, when we come to people who are looking for the answers in life, the answer should never be, "Why do you come to my church?" The answer should be, "Guess what? I'm the church, and I'm standing right here in front of you. And I want to love on you and serve you and encourage you and empower you to understand this love that I have received from Jesus." It's you, the followers of Christ, that are the church. It's not the building that we meet in, although this facility should help us move forward in the vision of Jesus. But when someone comes to you with a problem, they're coming to the church. They are being attracted to the light that you have within you. Stop hiding your blessings. Don't put it under a bushel. Okay, you all know the song. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hold it under a... No, come on, you got to do better than that. Okay, don't let Satan it out, right? Yeah. You have been blessed by the one living God to let your light shine in this world. Through the sacrifice of his Son, Jesus Christ, God has lit this light within you. He has washed away the sins that stopped us from shining. We have again been brought back into fellowship with the Creator. Through the sacrifice of His Son, we are able to illuminate our hearts with the love and joy and peace that comes from knowing the Savior. But more than this, friends, we are to illuminate the world that's around us. Ephesians 5 says this, "For you were once darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, providing what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it's a shame to even speak those things which are done by them in secret. But all the things that are reproved are being manifest by the light, for whatever it makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, sleeping ones, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light." Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you the light. We become light as soon as we accept Jesus into our hearts as our Lord and our Savior. Jesus died, friends, so that we didn't have to die. He gave us eternal life free from sin. Because He has made us free from sin, we are free from death. And the Scripture says that as we rise up from death caused by sin, that we will become light. And the light will overcome the darkness. Jesus makes us light so that the darkness fades before us. And we need to stand firm in Jesus, stand firm in the Spirit, so that we may overcome all of the things of darkness. As Christians, we are called to love all. We do need to be in the presence of others who are still seeking God, because it's through us they find a life in Jesus. It's a much better place to be. We need to claim for ourselves and others that we've got a destiny, that we have a place to be in the love and the kingdom of God. We need to break the chains that are holding us down and allow the love of Christ to flow in us and through us. We need to walk together and travel together to bring this light of Christ into the darkness. But there's a reality in the midst of all of this, and a truth in the midst of all of this, that people will question your anointing, your call. They will fail to rejoice in your blessings and in your gifts. They will try to smother your light with jealousy and bitterness. Friends, do not let their bitterness ruin the good fruit that you have in producing that light for Christ. No one knows, except for God, the darkness that you have come out of in order to be in the light that you're in now. Nobody knows, except for God, the pain and suffering that you have needed to endure in your life so that you can be in the light of Christ today. No one knows what you have gone through in order to receive the blessings that God has for you. Do not let anyone take away the light you are destined to become through the saving grace of Jesus and the blood that was spilled for each of you. Don't let anyone belittle the sacrifice that was made on the cross so that you might be set free and coming out of the darkness. Don't let anyone belittle or ignore the distance you have already come along the path for God's kingdom and His righteousness. But you are a chosen generation, the Scripture says, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for possession, so that you might speak the praises of Him that has called you out of the darkness into His marvelous light. You know, I've always believed that you can really tell who a person is. I mean, really tell who they are when they're on a golf course. Can I get an amen? I mean, you really get to know who it is. There have been many times in which I go out on a golf course by myself, because I'm an introvert. I really am, believe it or not. And I go on the golf course by myself, and usually I'm paired up with two or three other people, and we're playing along, and man, they are throwing clubs, and they are cussing up a storm, and they cheat. Like, I don't cheat at all. Sorry, I don't cheat at all. No. But they're cheating, and it always happens around hole 14 or 15. They ask me this really deep question. They say, Brian, what do you do for a living? And I always look at them and I say, well, I'm a pastor. And they start apologizing. Oh, I'm so sorry I got so angry. Oh, I'm so sorry I was cussing. Oh, I didn't really kick that ball, do a little foot wedge action back on hole number three. No. No, they start apologizing for their actions. And my comment always back to them is, listen, you need to be yourself. Don't be somebody that you're not. It's often interesting when we're confronted with light or someone who carries the light, we try and shy away a little bit. We like our darkness. We like to be in the darkness. I realize that there's a time when the real us doesn't come out. We all have filters, right? We're not to act certain ways in certain places. It's really tough to kind of be who we are all the time. Perhaps it's when you're with your family or your friends or it's at work. Sometimes we try to hide that real us. The real you doesn't really manifest itself when you come here to church, right? Because you got to be nice. You got to be churchy people, right? You got to be kind and nice. You got to love everybody here. It doesn't manifest itself when things are going well in your life, right? I mean, you have that filter really engaged. Things are going okay, and you don't have to be your real self. And when you're full of joy, you know that filter is engaged there. But the real you can manifest itself in some places. Like when you get cut off when you're driving. The real, yeah, that's an amen back there if I ever heard it. An amen. The real you manifests itself when you are doing things you shouldn't be doing in your own space. The real you manifests itself when you are golfing with a pastor. The real you shows itself during times of stress and difficulty. Does your light get smothered by the darkness? Or does the darkness fall away in front of you because your light shines so bright? So what are the signs that you're walking in the light? What do people see when they look at you as a Christian? Do they see someone walking in the teachings of Christ in a biblical way? Or do they see someone who goes to church only on a Sunday morning? Is your life radically different from those around you? Have you changed your ways when you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? You can be sure, and I guarantee you this, that the only difference, one of the only differences in your life in becoming a Christian to before you becoming a Christian, is that you have less time on Sunday morning. That's a reality, right? When you become a Christian, you have less time on Sunday morning because you are here in church. But is that the only change that people are seeing in you? The reason why he placed himself on the cross was to give you a second chance, to allow you to be reborn, to wash you clean, so that you may be a light bringer into this world. And I think of my life as I was growing as a Christian, and I wonder if people who knew me 27 years ago, before I became a Christian, saw me then and now, would they recognize that I'm a totally different person in my life with Christ? And if not, I would be extremely concerned. I would be extremely concerned and disappointed that hours of study and prayer, seeking God's will, did not make a difference in my life. Would it be possible that the people back then and now would see me exactly the same way, or would they see how Christ's transformative power in my life has changed my life? What about 5 years ago? What about last year? Have you seen a change in me in the last year? It's not good enough to just read and learn about what it means to be a Christ follower. It doesn't do any good unless you live it. If you look back at the scripture this morning, Matthew 5:16 says this, "So let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Our light shines in the things that we do, our words and our actions. How we live our life must reflect the light that comes from God and through His Son, Jesus. How bright our light shines reflects how much we love God, and it's radiated into this world, the amount of love that we share with one another. Jesus loved other people. And in particular, he loves those who have been despised by society. He spent time with tax collectors and prostitutes and Samaritans and Roman commanders. He would talk to all that listened. He had a peace and a love and an understanding and a patience and a warmth that was not found in the world. He was a light in the darkness. We must never think because we have found Jesus that we have reached the end. If we strive to follow Jesus, to become perfect as God is perfect in heaven, then he will give us opportunities to shine brightly and to love more fully. We are to love and bless those who are both seeking Jesus and those who desire to put that light into this world. And when that happens, when we choose to love, darkness fades and God is glorified. We are to be a light on a hill, a light on a lampstand. Brothers and sisters, we need to consider what our lives look like and what kind of light we are sharing with others. Have we lit this Christ light in our hearts, accepting Christ as our primary light giver? When other people see us who do not know Christ, whose lights have been washed out without the hope and the peace and the joy of life, when they see you, do they see your light? Do they see a Christ light, a Messiah light, a Jesus light that burns so bright that they cannot help to accept this light from heaven themselves? For renewal and for healing, for transformation in Christ. For friends, when we allow our light to be put on a lampstand, when we allow our light to be put on a hill, it will shine to the very ends of the earth with the transformative power of Jesus. Holy and gracious God, we thank you. We want to be light bringers, God. We want to be those who reach out into this world with this light that you have given to us. God, may we not stop being light bringers. May we keep our lantern shining bright so that, God, others in this world who might have heard of your son Jesus but don't know him will come to understand that following Christ is a lifelong journey of hope and of joy. God, may we keep surrendering to you in that way. May we remember that on that day, 2,000 years ago, that Jesus stood in the middle of the temple as all the lights were extinguished, even the one that they thought the Messiah was coming, even that hope, that Jesus stood up and brought the hope of the world and said, I am the light of the world. Lord God, may we take that light. And may we share that light abundantly in this world that knows way too much darkness. And may we continue to develop that light in ways that will bring other people to the saving knowledge of your son, Jesus. For we pray this in your son's name. Amen.